The worst thing that the rich ever did to the poor was not to take our houses and was not to take our money. It was to make us as selfish as they are.
Given your experience and how different it was from what you were taught, what does it leave you thinking about the state of economics as a discipline, which is very important in terms of the future of money, because we're training people to think about it in a certain way? What would you add into the training that you never had?
I did a master's 2017, 2019 at Oxford. I get very frustrated talking to economists a lot of the time. And I studied maths and economics. I was very good at maths as a kid. I'm a kind of a mathsy person and I love maths. But I think people who are very into maths, they have a tendency to just get sucked into the detail of something and not be able to zoom out and see the big picture. And I think we need to have people in economics who are not like elite mathematicians.
Mm-hmm.
I think these people need to be allowed in there. We need to be able to ask questions and say, I asked the professor, why do you not talk about the housing crisis?
Yeah.
He said to me, housing crisis only in London. We're studying at Oxford, right? And I said, that's because all the jobs are in London. And he said, that's not true, I've got a job. This guy's economics professor at Oxford University, right? And, go tell that to somebody who can't get a job in Wigan or Hartlepool or even East London where I'm from. They're not going to go and become economics professor at Oxford University. I think these guys need... One thing I was in the maths department undergrad.
Yeah.
And one thing I really noticed about economists is there's this tremendous intellectual fragility about economists. If you ask a maths professor a weird question, he loves it. He loves it. And he'll spend like a week thinking about it.
Mm.
If you ask an economics professor like a weird, like especially challenging question,
yeah.
Bam, 100-page PDF. Done. Did you read the 100-page PDF? Another 100-page PDF. These guys will not accept challenge.
Yes.
They will not accept challenge. And, this is why... This is why I left academia and I made the YouTube channel, because ultimately, at the end of the day, economics is an extremely elite discipline, especially in academia, but it affects your lives. It affects your kids' lives. This is why your kids can't get a house. This is why you can't get a good job. This is why people can't afford to turn the heating on. And they've created this space where you guys feel like you're not allowed to talk about it.
Exactly. And economics, before the turn to mathematical economics that came with Thatcherism, economics was much more... observant. It was political economy, so it had three dimensions. It wasn't mathematical in the same way, remotely to the same degree. If you read the book, there's a fascinating section in the middle of the book where Gary's effectively, the point where he made the most money was where he stopped thinking about the models and looked out of the window and looked at the condition of his friends and realized that the level of poverty in the country was such that even if we lowered interest rates, it wasn't going to stimulate the economy because more and more people in the economy just didn't have any money. That there was literally, the demand was collapsing and it was going to carry on collapsing, so interest rates weren't going to rise. So Gary bet on interest rates not rising and he made a great deal of money. What strikes me about that is he became a political economist. He looked out of the window, he looked at three-dimensional society and said, yep, that's not going to work.
Mm.
And that sort of brings me on to inequality and poverty. This is a trick question. I'm going to ask Gary, how do financial markets think about poverty and inequality?
Well, I mean, the first thing to say is financial markets don't think, people think.
Yeah.
I suppose, you're asking about traders. It's a funny story, actually. I went to Japan in November, and there's a guy in the book, what do we call him in the book? Kosuke, my Japanese junior. And I was messaging him. He still works for Citibank. I was like, we need to meet up. I've got to tell you something. And he was like really busy. We managed to get some time. We go out to this like little like ramen place and we're eating. I was like, I've got to tell you, Kosuke, I've written a book and you're in it. And I think the book might be quite big, so people might get to know who you are. And he said, okay. What do you think is going to happen to interest rates? and overwhelmingly, when I talk to, and I still talk to a lot of traders, I think if you want to understand the economy, I think you really should be talking to traders if you can.
Yeah.
I don't want to say all traders are geniuses, they're definitely not, but there are a lot of interesting people there. And when I talk to them, I say to them, inequality is going to get worse and worse, living standards are going to get worse and worse. And they say to me, all right, what's the trade? What do we put on? Should we buy bonds? You know what I mean? And it's just this... It's heartbreaking in a way, because these are some of the smartest people that I know.
And what does that say to you about the power of financial markets in society?
You know... people read the book and they have their own opinion. For me, what I want the book to be about is what happens to a person when they are trained that the only thing that matters is to compete and to compete and to win and to win.
Yeah.
And by extension, what that does to an industry and what that does to our society.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, I've got an economics YouTube channel and I talk about economics, but the more and more I do the channel, the more I start to think, and you're going to laugh because of your previous question, it's almost a spiritual problem that we have.
Yeah.
Because if you can train your kids so badly to be selfish, if you can train everyone to only care about themselves and only care about making money and only care about winning, how the fuck do the poor protect themselves from the rich?
Yeah.
Because the only way the poor ever protect themselves from the rich was by standing next to each other and working as a team. Because individually, they're way weaker. They're way weaker. And then, you know, the more I do my work, and, you know, I suppose it's been a big year for me, but I started to think that, in a way, the worst thing that the rich ever did to the poor was not to take our houses and was not to take our money. It was to make us as selfish as they are.
I think that's a really profound point. And the crazy thing about how profound that is the origins of it. So modern economics, neoclassical economics, the economic agent within all of that modelling and thinking is a selfish agent, right? It's someone who's a cost-benefit maximising rational individual. And all of these models are about how such an individual would navigate commodity space. The incredible irony of that, because it's become a truism, you know, realism is the idea that that's what we're like. Do you know anybody who's like that? I mean, that seems like a good definition of psychopathy in a way, the idea that someone is only selfish and they're only calculating.
It's wrong.
It comes from the early ambition to build a scientific economics. If you were going to use mathematics for economics, you were going to need an individual with predictable motivation who you could model. And for that, you were going to need an incredibly reductive idea of what human motivation was like. So they borrowed physics, literally, Newtonian mechanics, and they swapped out energy, so the idea of atoms responding to stimuli in a linear way, give it a stimulus, it'll only do one thing. And they think, okay, what theory of mind gives us the equivalent? It's utilitarianism, the idea that individual person is a cost-benefit maximizer. So the idea that we are rational calculators comes from a cut-and-paste job from physics at the beginning of the 20th century, and it is the basis not just of the theories that economists learn, but also the politics that kind of comes around that. And what you're talking about is what it does to you. And do you want to say a bit about what you think it does to us?
Well, the first thing I want to say is that we're not just that. That we're not just that. I think that's the most important thing, to be honest, because... You know what? I come from a poor background. I have friends and family who are not rich, and I don't know what's happening in ordinary people's lives. And I do the channel that I do because I think that if enough people understand what's happening, that it is caused by inequality, that it is fixable, that it will get worse, then people will demand something different.
Yeah.
And I make videos, you know, week after week. We're on pause at the moment, but the number one question I get on the channel by a million miles is, Gary, tell me how to make money. And it's funny, but it's
tragic.
But that was me. That was me as a kid. You know, I know what it's like being poor, so I'm not going to point the fingers at nobody. We have to be bigger than that.
To continue watching this video, click the link in the top left or in the description below.
With a free trial, you can enjoy the full talk and thousands more.
Thank you for being part of the conversation.